Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a calm conversation about mundane things to help you sort of find your way to a place that might bring you to sleep. We don't guarantee it, but we certainly have a lot of people who say that our podcast helps them with that. And if it helps you, please let your friends know. The more, the merrier here on the Insomnia Project. Speaking of the more, the merrier, I'm going to welcome a dear friend of mine who's been on the podcast before, who has the coolest name of anyone I know. Welcome, Michelle Miracle, to the Insomnia Project.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Marco. It is always a pleasure to see your face and hear your voice. And thanks for having me.
Thank you. And you're coming to us from Santa Clarita, California.
Yes. It is just north of L.A. It is in a part of L.A. that has parks and trees and birds and parking.
Oh, because L.A. doesn't have parking, right? You have to valet everywhere, right?
Yeah.
How much is a valet in Los Angeles?
It depends on the night or the venue, but it's probably between $10 and $50.
Ouch. Okay, so it's nothing to snark at, that's for sure.
No.
So anyone listening who gets free parking in their town or, city, consider yourself lucky because you can't go anywhere here in the city either without spending at least $10 in parking.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I don't go anywhere.
That's when you're like, oh, it was only $10, right? Those days. But anyways, let's talk about. All right. So a couple things I want to talk about. I know Michelle because she is a fantastic actor, performer, writer, comedian. We did comedy all over the high seas for Second City on cruise ships. That's how I got to know you.
We had a lot of fun.
So much fun. So much fun. But Michelle, now you're diving into another artistic endeavor, and I want to talk about that because, A, I really, really dig your art. And I know I sound like somebody from the 70s, but I dig it really, really much. It's so goofy.
Thank you. That's so sweet of you. Well, I just want to say I am still an actor. I'm not giving that up. I'm still a performer. But I had kind of not a midlife crisis, but a crisis of career crisis last year. And I was out of work and just kind of restless. And I noticed that I was just afraid to try anything new. And so I thought, well, I'm going to just buy some paints and play around with watercolors. So I did that and I realized that I was really enjoying it. And so it just kind of snowballed from there and it became this whole thing of helping me through my perfectionism because as an actor, you know, you're always constantly like waiting for the opportunity to do that, to get to act. But with art, I was able to just like do it and be terrible and keep failing and keep failing and get a little better each day. And so it really has helped me to work on my perfectionism and my growth mindset and my the negative voices in my head. So it's been really kind of transformative for me and really joyful. So I'm having a lot of fun. And then it just kind of turned into a business.
It's so funny, Miracle. And folks, I'll probably call Michelle by her last name, which is Miracle. Once again, the coolest name.
I had nothing to do with it.
Well, you wear it well, shall we say. It's interesting you say that, Michelle, because for me, I got into podcasting the same sort of way where it's like I'm an actor, but there was some downtime in my acting and I was like, I need to do something to feed me creatively. And so I got into podcasting. And likewise, you got into just picking it up just to do the art, the watercolor, and then it sort of became the journey brought you to actually making prints and people buying them. But before we get there, I want to ask you, why watercolors?
I think they were the least intimidating. Like, I've never been, I guess I drew as a kid. Like, I found some paintings that I sent a boy that I had a crush on. And, you know, they were terrible when I was like 13 or 14. But I wasn't a very artistic person ever. I could not draw. If somebody said, draw a flower, it would just look like a doodle, you know, on the side of your notepaper. But so I wanted something that could be kind of very accessible and inexpensive in case I hated it. And, you know, a lot of other artwork or materials, mediums are, you know, more expensive to kind of try.
Sure.
So I just bought a very cheap set of paints and a very cheap set of brushes. And then from there, of course, I spent a lot more money once I figured it out.
But sure. Of course, it's there's always an initial expense, too, when you get into an endeavor like this.
Right.
But then once you have the material that you need, it's there and you can continue to use your watercolors, for example. Is there a color that you go to more than others?
Good question.
Thank you.
I think I like, see, I don't even know that much about color because I didn't go to art school, but I don't usually, I usually go towards cooler colors like blues and greens. I don't even know if those are technically cool colors, but I don't use as much of like reds and yellows and oranges, but yeah, I use all the colors, but I tend to paint a lot of blues and greens.
It's so great. Now you've done something really unique with your artwork, and for our listeners who might be interested in seeing your artwork, I'm going to just say a couple of things, a couple of websites so that they can go to them. But don't worry, folks, you can always look on our show notes for more information. But if you go to michellemiracle.com and then click the tab that says art, you'll see Michelle's artwork, but you'll also see other artistic things that you've been doing. Mm-hmm. And you'll get to see the face behind the voice here. So you get to see Michelle on that. But also, if you go to Instagram, you'll see her artwork. And that's on Mishmash Art Stash. So tell us how that name came to be.
Well, so just to back up a little bit, once I started kind of cranking these pieces out, I thought, look, I may never be in a museum, but I sure could be, this piece could be on a notebook in Target or on a book cover, you know, notebook or journal or something, like wallpaper, all of this like surface pattern world started to kind of present itself to me. And I thought, wow, my stuff could really be on a product somewhere, somehow, you know, it doesn't have to be a masterpiece, but, sorry, I lost my train of thought. You said...
It's all right. I was asking how Mishmash Art Stash came to be.
Oh, thank you. So then once I started to kind of realize that these could be surface patterns, I thought, well, maybe this could be a greeting card. So I was asking friends, you know, hey, if I was going to sell greeting cards with my art, what would I call it? And a friend of mine, she always calls me Mish, like Michelle.
I see.
So she calls me Mish and she's like, why don't you call it Mishmash? And I was like, oh, that's great. And I Googled Mishmash greeting cards or Mishmash artist or whatever. And there's like a ton of them, but it's M-I-S-H. And then it just kind of came to me because I don't know if you know this about me or if you knew me when you knew me, if I was as into mustaches as I have been before and since, but I have a thing for mustaches. In every sketch comedy show we ever did in Denver, I wanted to be a male character so I could wear a mustache.
Okay.
And even at our wedding, as you know, Marco and his lovely wife, Amanda, were the officiants at our wedding, which is like the most special memory of my life. And besides meeting my husband, blah, blah, blah. But we had everybody put on mustaches after the ceremony so we could get a big picture of everyone in a mustache. And it hangs in our hallway and we see it every night before we go to bed. We walk towards it and it just makes me smile.
Oh, so, that's great. Is there a particular mustache that you like? Like, do you like a pencil mustache, a curly, a handlebar?
I like a beefy mustache. Like a
beefy mustache.
Like a Sam Elliott mustache.
Ooh, you so know? Like really like a caterpillar under the chin, like something that has some.
If you needed to sweep the floor, you could.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Like yeah.
Just a beefy, big old mustache. So yeah, mishmash art stash kind of just came to me. And then I got a logo designed that's a mustache and it all kind of fell together, worked together.
And you know when you know, right? It's like you toss around different ideas and then the one that comes to you, you're like, oh, that's it. That's the one.
And of course, it takes a little bit of explaining when you're trying to spell it out. But it's a great logo. And I think it just really encapsulates me and kind of my sense of weirdness and whimsy. And that I'm not taking myself too seriously in all of this.
Yeah, that is a great thing to bring to your art as well, right? That sense of humor, that sense of play, which is something that you inherently have in your other performance, in your other art, that being comedy. And you have a great voice too, you know? So like you're kind of like a triple threat when it comes to like visual art, performance art, music art. I don't know what that falls under. I wanted to ask you, what is surface pattern? You kept saying surface pattern. I don't know what that is.
Okay. Well, it's an industry I did not know existed until a year ago when I started painting. But every product that you buy that has a pattern on it, or like if you go to the store and you see shower curtains or wrapping paper or nail stickers, or you know, your dress has a print on it.
Okay.
That doesn't come from inside the company. It's not like an in-house art department, which I think some companies may have an in-house art department, but from what I understand, and I'm still very new to this and I don't fully understand it all yet, but from what I understand, those companies will go to these exhibits or these like conventions with all these artists, and these artists will present in a booth. They'll have their own booth. They will present their patterns in collections. So a company that's doing shower curtains might come and say, I want to license that art. And they'll sign a contract with that artist. Then that artist may sell that same or license that same piece of art to wrapping paper, to sheets, to fabric. You can license a piece of art to 25 different things as long as they don't conflict. And it's something that like a lot of, there's a lot of computer technology involved. You know, I'm still learning that program.
Sure.
There's a program called Procreate. But anyway, so I just wanted to like work on my skills as an artist first before I start delving into the surface pattern. But that's where I'm headed, is like, I really want to see my art, like I said, on a journal in Target or like on a dress in Marshalls or something like that.
Sure.
I'm aiming high, you know, Marshalls, Target.
I love it.
I love those places. So anyway,
you're aiming for accessible places for people, which is so wonderful. Your art is accessible. Thank you for telling me what surface pattern is. I had no idea.
Yeah, surface pattern design. If you Google that, it's like, it's crazy. There's so many people who license their artwork to many different, like book covers and paint wallpaper. It's endless. It's crazy. Another thing that I was going to say is, I forgot.
Well, it's all right. It'll come to you. It'll come to you. It'll come to you in the middle of you discussing something else.
Yeah.
So just let me know when it does come to you. And if it doesn't, that's okay too. So Michelle, I want to talk about your art now, because your art really strikes me for many reasons. But you use a technique that has a personal connection to you, but really stands out for me. And I'm going to try to describe it, and then you'll correct me.
Okay.
So Michelle puts watercolors on the page, and there'll be multiple watercolors in an array that is vibrant, whimsical, and strong. And if that weren't enough, this is the part where I think it really speaks to me. You then take a black thin-tipped pen or marker, and you trace the various splotches of color that the watercolor makes on the page.
Yes.
It's amazing. Oh, so tell me how that came to be, and then if you don't mind sharing what the personal connection is to that, because I think it makes it so much more wonderful.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's kind of, both of those stories are kind of the same, where it was developed because I am very negative to myself in my brain. And that's how this all kind of started, is I would paint something, and because I'm a new artist and I'm learning and I'm trying to figure this out, like what looks good, what makes sense, but I'm also an improviser, right? In my bones, I don't plan things. I just improvise. And I was kind of beating myself up for not being the kind of artist who plans it out, and not being the kind of artist who knows color theory, and not being the kind of artist who knows how to paint a scene or a flower or a bush or a tree or whatever. So I would just paint, and then I would look at it and go, this sucks. This is the worst painting I've ever seen in my life. I wouldn't even throw this away. It's so nasty. So I would put it aside, and I would just like start over, do another one. And I just kept doing this over and over and over again.
So you weren't satisfied with the work that you were producing. You were sort of being very critical, as many of us are, with the work that we make, especially when it's an artistic endeavor.
Yeah.
But then something happened.
Right. So then I took a piece out of the trash pile, and I thought, look at this. Oh, the paint is, you know, splattery, and I didn't like make a full swoosh with the color, and it's all drippy or whatever. And then I just started kind of outlining it and outlining and outlining, and every single gradation, every single drip, every place where the white showed through and the paint didn't cover, I outlined. And then I stood back at the end and I was like, oh, wow, look at this. It was terrible. I was highlighting the mistakes, quote unquote. I was trying to like prove to myself how ugly it was. And then it became something really beautiful and meaningful to me, in that the more and more I did that, the more and more I let myself learn and grow and try again and not give up on myself, that I was able to create things that I thought were better. Not great, but better.
And for me, there's the perfection and the imperfection that you're highlighting.
Yeah.
And it really lets those colors almost jump off the page the way you do it in such a brilliant way, that whenever I see that particular style of art that you do, I'm always like mesmerized by it.
Well, thank you. You know, it's really therapeutic, and it's really, it's given me a new perspective on myself and my brain and my like inner monologue. And it's allowed me to be more gentle with myself. And I think like, even if I never sell a painting, like to me, it's been a transformative experiment, because I'm learning that, number one, perfection is dumb. That's like my number one hashtag, is like, perfection is dumb.
Sure.
It has no place in our lives, because it's not possible. And so to hold ourselves to that standard is, it's a recipe for disaster, right? And there's no one that can measure up to that. So why am I putting that on myself?
Sure.
So, and then by making something that I don't like, but not giving up, and adding to it and learning and growing and continuing to hang in there, it's like a lesson for myself of like, oh, if I just like hung in there with all these other things in my life or these other aspects of my creative career, instead of like giving up or, you know, bowing out or telling myself it's not going to work or I'm not good enough or whatever, if I just kept in there and tried again tomorrow, then maybe something beautiful would happen. And so for me, it's just been a really great growth period. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, so it certainly does. There certainly is something very calming when you're able to release the idea of perfection and know that what you're creating is creative. And sometimes mm-hmm. that's all it needs to be, right?
No,
please.
I was just going to say that I don't know about you, but as a perfectionist who's, you know, working through it, there's so many ideas that I've had in the past for creative endeavors or projects or scripts or scenes or sketches or, you know, projects, whatever, that I will obsess about in my mind and decide that I won't be able to accomplish it because it won't be perfect or somebody else has already done it and I can't do it better. And there's no way I can accomplish this because of this. And I just talk myself out of it before I ever try. So because of that, I think that this has been such a great thing for me to just be like, look, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying this. I'm just winging it. I'm improvising every painting I do. And who knows if it's going to suck or not? It might suck, and that's okay because I'll do another one.
Sure. And is that a train?
It is a train. I gotta go. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Michelle's train has arrived, folks. I'm just like, I'm hearing this lovely sound in the background. I'm like, I think there is a train near you. If I remember,
every hour
there's a train whistle. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite beautiful. I mean, I think it's quite beautiful. Do you even hear it anymore?
I do sometimes, especially if I'm trying to record a voiceover or whatever. But yeah, it's just kind of all day, every day. And it's just something I hear all the time. So I kind of tune it out.
There's beautiful train sounds. I thought that was a really pretty train sound. But I remember when I was working in France many years ago. This sounds so... Amanda's always like rolling her eyes when I say statements like that because it sounds
like... France.
When I was working in France. So this was many years ago, and it was, trust me when I say it was not a fun job. Okay. So, but my hotel was near the train station, and they have this weird sound to French trains that's really unnerving. And I remember thinking to myself, what is that sound? And they're like, oh, a train has arrived at the station. I'm like, my goodness. we have a train not far from where I live. And every once in a while you hear the train, like a distant whistle of the train. And I'm like, oh, there's the train. But it doesn't happen every hour because there's no stop or there's no, I guess the train just keeps going near me. There's no area to stop, I guess.
Yeah, I think there aren't very many places where it crosses a street. But because it crosses a street here, that's why that we get the horn.
I see. All right. I want to go back to, okay, so we've described the art, and I'm going to try to put up a piece of it on our social media, on the Insomnia Project, so you can see Michelle's artwork. And for our listeners who subscribe to the Patreon, I'm working with Michelle to try to get something available to you with her art. So stay tuned for that.
It's a surprise.
It's a bit of a surprise. And we'll work on it as best we can. And when I say we, Michelle's going to help me out and I'm going to try to figure it out. Cause that's where I find it's so difficult for me to figure things out. Like I feel like it's such a big task. And then once I get it done, it's done. So folks, stay tuned for that. That's a PSA that went longer than I wanted it to. But I want to go back, Michelle, to the connection of the outlining of your art, your personal connection to that.
Oh, yeah. Now I realize what you mean.
Your father, like the stuff
you
eat.
Yes, thank you. oh, yes. So my once I started doing this over and over and over again with the outlining and seeing the different kind of gradations of color and how the lines kind of a lot of times went in the same direction, or, you know, I didn't realize what a pattern it was making while I was doing it because I was just so focused on the individual line. But when I zoomed out, I could see this like beautiful piece that looked like a map. And it kind of threw me because my dad, who passed away in 1997, was a cartographer. He made maps. And I thought, like, well, that's weird. This looks like something my dad used to make. And I don't think it's completely a coincidence. But I do find a really cool connection with, you know, my childhood and seeing my dad make these maps in our basement, you know, hunched over a light table. And then to see that, like, this art that I'm creating is sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes looks very similar to these topographical maps that he used to make.
It's so wonderful. When you said that, I was like, oh, this painting now has taken on even more significant meaning. And it's so wonderful. There is a topographic feel to your art, which, once again, it's hard to describe, but when you see it, you're like, yes, of course. And it really lets the arts jump off the page. What are you thinking when you're doing the tracing? What's going through your mind? Is it just a very like calm place that you're at as you trace?
Yeah, you know, it started out, like I said, really negative. Like I was highlighting the mistakes. But since then, now that I've kind of accepted that it's going to be better when I do this, now I find it really calming, and I find that it's kind of a way for me to zone out, but also talk to myself in a nicer way. Because while I'm doing it, I'm like, oops, you missed a line. Oh, well, who cares? You know, that's perfectionism nice. Is dumb. So like, if I don't do it exactly right, there's always a way I can fix it or a way that it will make sense. And I just keep telling myself, it's okay. It's going to make sense. It'll work. Don't worry. This is all working. Everything's working out. And again, when I'm done and I zoom out, it's like, wow, I never knew, Marco, that I could make things like this, that I could create something like any of this art. And I'm not saying that it's great. It's just like, you don't know what you are capable of until you give yourself permission to do something and to fail at it and to try again. And like, that is where the beauty of it is for me. Not that, you know, I think I'll be in a gallery somewhere, thousands of dollars for one print, but I mean, maybe I will, who knows, but that's not even what it's about for me. It's literally about giving myself the permission to be creative and then seeing what I can do.
Sure.
And I think that's true for everybody. I think it's such a powerful epiphany for me. And I hope that other people would be inspired to like listen to that own their own little voice that's like, hey, you should try that thing that you've been wanting to.
Well, if they can't listen to their own, they should listen to yours as you tell us about the cathartic nature of the endeavor that you just picked up. And I understand you also have some of your art available in cards, in card form.
So currently I have greeting cards, and then I have 5x7, 8x10 prints that are on like really beautiful paper, so they feel like an original. And then I also have magnets, and I don't have those online yet because I'm getting ready to do a craft fair this weekend. So I'm kind of gearing up for that. But then when that's over, then I'm going to put everything up on my website. So hopefully it will be up there soon. Just double check. And what else? And I'm selling some originals as well.
So if you're in Southern California, you're going to be at a few craft fairs coming up, right, Michelle? Mm-hmm. Let's tell our listeners where they can find your art if they're not going online.
Right. Yes. Some things will be available right now online, but then in the next couple of weeks, they'll be more online. And then I'm going to be at a place called Barn and Charm, which is a cute little craft store. It's a little bit of everything store in Santa Clarita. And they're doing a sidewalk sale. So there's like 10 artists and vendors out there on Saturday, April 16th. And April 15th, I'm sorry. And then April 16th, Sunday, I'm going to be at the Agua Dulce Winery. There's a craft festival there, and there will be music and wine and food and crafts. So I'm very excited. It's my first like live test of maybe people will like this and maybe they won't. It'll be a good experiment. But because of all this journey that I've been on, I'm kind of okay with it. You know, it's like, well, if it works, great. And if it doesn't, I'll try something else.
That's wonderful. If you had any advice for our listeners who might be thinking, oh, you know what? Michelle found so much catharsis in watercolors and they wanted to do watercolors or something else. What would the advice be that you would share with them?
To start watercolor painting specifically or
whichever. Let's say they want to do, okay, give us advice for specifically watercolors and give us advice for any artistic thing they might want to do.
You know, I took a couple online classes, like I did some YouTube tutorials and then I did a thing called Craftsy, Craftsy. It's a subscription service, but I got a really good deal on it. They have coupons all the time. And I just watched like a ton of watercolor tutorials. And on Instagram, there's a ton. And TikTok, there's several people that I follow that are just like, they teach little 10-second chunks that are like, light bulb moments of, oh, wow, this is so easy and I can do this. I would suggest like just taking a deep dive, buying some inexpensive materials. Go to one of the craft stores, buy, you know, $20 worth of paints and brushes, and then just play around. I mean, it's the best way to just see. Like, I am not a person that can, like I said, I'm not a very skilled drawer. I don't know how to say that. I cannot draw. Let's just say that. And so my painting's much more abstract. And I love that because there's no rules. I don't have to make it look like a specific bird, but I'm so impressed by people that can.
Right.
It is amazing if somebody's like, oh, that's a this tree and that's a this bird. And I'm like, whoa, how did you do that? So yeah, I think you just kind of lean into what you like, what kind of art you like, and what kind of art you like to create.
That's great. That's great. Just pick up the brush and paint and see what happens.
Yeah, because the worst that can happen is that you spend an hour creating.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And if you hate it, no one has to see it. And if you love it, do it again tomorrow.
Yeah. Do you ever watch the show? And we've reached our time.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention, have you ever seen the show Portrait Artist of the Year?
No.
Portrait Artist of the Year, as they say on the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The older woman who's the host says it in a very sort of royal way. She speaks like the queen. I think she's friends with the queen too. But so it's a British show called Portrait Artist of the Year.
Okay.
And it's such a calm, wonderful show. I invite you to watch it. I think it's available on Prime.
Okay.
And what it is a bunch of artists in the UK get together and they paint somewhat famous people. And they're famous in the UK, but you'll watch it and you'll be like, I don't know who this person is. But they'll be like, you might remember him from Boink, My Cup Is Full. Or from, Razzle Without the Dazzle. We have Mark Thunderberg here.
Oh,
and this guy will come out and they'll be like, these three artists will be like, oh my goodness, Mark Thunderberg is there. And they'll draw him. And then generally speaking, there'll be three famous people and three artists per famous person, and they'll draw. And then at the end, three of the paintings get selected or shortlisted, and then one gets picked to compete for the chance to paint another famous person that's going to end up in a gallery. So, for example, one year it was Tom Jones was the big prize. So they had to the winner would paint Tom Jones and it would end up in the National Gallery in Wales or something like that. Please forgive me if I've got it wrong. Anyways, it's one of my relaxing shows that I like to watch when I just need to chill. And I invite you to watch it because it's pretty wonderful. Now, if you really want to delve into this sort of series and you really want the one that's going to be the one that'll make you fall asleep, then I say watch Landscape Artist of the Year. Same sort of thing, but they're painting British landscapes.
Oh, God.
And it's pretty lovely. And it's one of those shows, sometimes I need shows where nothing really happens and everyone is safe and everyone is fine. And these are those shows. So yeah, I invite you to watch them.
And they're not like cutthroat competition, right?
No,
like
no.
British reality shows or competition shows are so polite.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I'm definitely going to watch those. Thank you for the reco.
Cause you and I were watching, what's that show where the repair shop?
Mm.
And we didn't know. And then we started to talk about the repair shop. And my wife's like,
repair shop.
Why are you and Miracle watching this show?
Because it's lovely. I cry at every episode. It's like so sentimental and like seeing somebody's, you know, memory revived is like beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Anyways, that's the time we have here today. Once again, go to our show notes and you'll find the links. But otherwise, just type in michellemiracle.com into your search engine and click on art and you'll see her art. Michelle, before we go, anything you'd like to say?
Well, I was just going to say that you can also find me and more of my art on Instagram at mishmashartstash. And it's going to be hard to spell. M-I-C-H, like Michelle. M-A-S-H, A-R-T, and then stash like mustache, S-T-A-C-H-E, mishmash art stash.
Fantastic. Well, Michelle, thank you so much. This time has gone by so quickly.
I know.
And I really appreciate it. And like I said, for our Patreons, we're working on something for you, so stand by. And until next time, Michelle, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And I hope all your listeners get creative this week.
There you go. And I hope all our listeners were able to listen and sleep.